Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, how are you? Good to see you, Michael, Walter, Peggy. I am so excited to talk to you guys today. As you may have noticed, Mike is not here, and we actually are broadcasting at the wrong time. I screwed up and actually scheduled this for 4:30 today Pacific time when it's supposed to be at 10:30. So Mike is actually on his big elite call and wasn't able to make it. So I was like, you know what? Let's make the best out of this situation and let's talk about working as spouses in business together. I think that's a huge issue that a lot of people don't really talk about. They just kind of like bury it underneath because they're like, the business is super important and we have to make money, you know, our ends meet. And by any means necessary, we have to pull through. And just because we're a husband and wife doesn't mean that that needs to enter into it. And that is just not the case. And it's really important to me that, you know, the members of Cleaning Nation keep their families and their marriages strong as well as their businesses. Because, you know, I mean, what's the point of all of it if your whole family falls apart, right? So I just wanted to say hello to everybody first. Jennifer, great to see you. Jolu, you are one of my favorites. So glad that you're here. Renee, I am so glad that you are here. Thank you. I am super nervous. I am not one of those people that likes to be in the spotlight. Like you can see, like my hands are like super shaky. I am not a solo podcaster, but you know what? I screwed up. So I am making the best out of it and I'm going to serve you guys today. So I just wanted to start it with kind of like the first issue. Like if you are working with your spouse, you guys need to be aligned together. You know, if you've got your husband doing one thing or your wife doing another thing, and you're going in opposite directions, you can't really steer your company to the where you want to go, right? Like, I mean, if you are equally yoked and you have a common goal, you would absolutely pull that cart stronger together. But, you know, if you guys don't talk about it and you're like, I have this goal, I have this vision in my life, and your spouse has this goal and this vision in your life, and you're both working equally hard at the goals that you both think that you have, you're going to be kind of pulling against each other the whole way and resenting one another, but not really knowing why. So it's super key that you actually have a common goal, a common dream, and you talk that through before you really head in any direction. Because if you aren't in line, you really can't drive your company. You can't drive your employees because you guys are at cross purposes. You don't have anybody behind you so that when you screw up like I did, or if something falls apart or you get sick or somebody's going to have to do something else, you need that person behind you 100% of the time. And if you guys don't have that common goal together, you're just going to end up, you know, dragging each other down and really just resenting one another for that. So it's really important for your marriage, for your sanity, and for your business that you guys talk and you have that common goal. That's kind of like the number one foundation to being able to work together in your business. Another really big thing that I want to talk about is a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs who are passionate, who start their businesses, are, you know, so passionate about their business. Their business is their baby and everything else comes second. So, you know, the business pays for our bills. It pays for the roof over our head, the food in our bellies, the cars that we drive. It pays for everything. So therefore, all of our best efforts and everything, all of our energy should go towards this business. And that's somewhat true. But the caveat is if you do it at the cost of your relationships, it's not worth anything. I know that Mike has kind of mentioned in the past that he went through a really difficult divorce, and this business that he had poured himself into, all of this hard work and this blood, sweat, and tears felt like it was for nothing. You know, he lost his wife and his family fell apart and his son had to deal with the consequences of a divorce. And I know that it's not super, you know, woke to say, like, you know, kids aren't okay in broken marriages, but it's not okay. It's really painful for them. So if you can do that, if you can salvage your marriage, if you can buttress up your marriage, especially when you work together, that is paramount to any other business success that you can have. Because it just doesn't work if you lose everything in the pursuit of that business. So how do you do that? Like, how do you really make sure that you are putting your spouse ahead of the business and ahead of yourself and your desires and that common goal? Well, it's really understanding who is the leader and who is the supporter. And I know it's really difficult because a lot of us have amazing ideas. And I know that, you know, it's hard to understand that this other person that is your equal in life as husband and wife now has to be your superior in the business. That's a really challenging role to take on. I think it's obvious that Mike is the leader in this business, right? He has the vision. He's had 20 years of experience. But working together for the last 10 years, we have found a really good combination where I know that Mike is the captain of the ship, and I support him in that, and I trust him in those abilities, and I trust him in those decisions. So when it comes to big decisions, we always discuss it, and we always, you know, he values my opinion, and we're always going to debate it. And if I disagree, I'm going to give him my opinion, and he will listen to it. But ultimately, the final decision rests on him. And when he does make that final decision, I need to just let go and be like, okay, he's the leader. He's got this experience. I trust him not only as my boss, but as my husband. And I know that when it fails, he's going to fall on that sword. I mean, you know, if obviously I don't want him to fail, please don't hear me say that. But should it fail, I'm not going to throw it in his face. And I'm not going to say, haha, I told you I was right, because we're both in the same boat. It doesn't make sense to, you know, mock the person that's, you know, that caused the hole in the bottom of the boat. Well, you should both be bailing it out, right? Like, that's the only way the boat's going to keep from sinking. So it's really important to understand your roles and who's the leader in the business. So that doesn't mean that you have to be completely subservient to whomever is the primary in that business, but you do need to understand that that person has the final say. And once they do have that final say, you've got to support them 100%. Good, bad, whatever the decision is, it doesn't help that you pile on, right? Like, you're that last person that they can depend on to fall back on when things don't go right. And if you're piling on with the rest of the world, you guys are both kind of pouring water into a sinking boat. So the common goal is super important. Understanding that you're doing it for each other, for your family, not for this business, not for yourself. And then, of course, understanding what each other's roles are within that business. So Mike does the grand scheme. He's brilliant when it comes to business. He understands this. He's got 20 years of experience, and he knows that strength. I do more the technical aspects, the minutiae, the integrations, the things that he's not super good at. Like, he's not really a tech savvy guy. You can understand, like, he's always asking me to sign up and get all of these podcasts ready because he's just not minded that way. And that's not his strength. But where he's weak, I'm strong. And where I'm weak, he's strong. And we appreciate our strengths and weaknesses, and we work together to build the business. So it's really important for you guys to understand that dynamic and how it can actually work to your benefit rather than using it as an opportunity to kind of nitpick or get back at them for something. And it can be really, really difficult. But if you can actually find your different strong suits and recognize your weaknesses and support one another in those weaknesses, you are going to go far, far, far beyond what your goals you even think that you could accomplish, because you've got this team that works together, like, congruently, not like this constant battling and bickering. And I know it is super hard as a husband and wife, or wife and wife, or husband and husband, that to let go of those preconceived, like, I have to be right. Like, I was right in this instance, and I need to settle my hash. But it really doesn't serve you, especially when you're dealing with being an entrepreneur and doing something special with what you want to do, like really building something amazing. It takes so much energy and time and focus. If you spend that energy, time, and focus trying to get your pound of flesh, it's just not going to work. And then if you think about it, your employees are going to see that. They're a little bit like a family, right? Like if you look at your family, and you've got, you know, the parental units and then the kids and the grandkids, and everybody kind of looks up to that generation ahead of them. Well, if you are the parents of your employees and you're constantly bickering at each other, or if your employees know, well, if I ask Mike one question, he's going to say no. But if I go and ask Natalie, then she's going to be more lenient and she's going to say yes. I'm just going to go around behind Mike's back to get what I want. You're creating this environment of a disunited or divided front, and your employees are going to pick up on that, and they're going to use it to kind of get around the rules and kind of tear your company apart. You got the inmates basically running the asylum. So you need to have a completely united front in order to manage your employees well. And that comes in with like good communication, understanding your roles, understanding who's a leader, understanding, you know, you got to support that person, even if they're wrong, because they're going to be wrong. We are fallible human beings. We are never, never right every single time. I am wrong all the time. Mike is wrong all the time. But we really understand that. And we have a heart of forgiveness and understanding and compassion and communication. A lot of times we get frustrated because we feel like, again, if we don't have those rules, my spouse is just getting in the way. They want to go this way and I want to go that way. And I don't care what they think. They're wrong. And I'm just going to bull ahead and they're just dragging me down. Well, again, if you guys are in this together and you just see your spouse's dead weight, it's just not going to work. You're going to end up resenting each other and both of you are going to end up cutting off your noses to spite your face because you're more important in winning that battle between one another than reaching your goal. So it really, really is important that your spouse is not a hindrance, but that you listen to their counsel, that you hear them, that you try to understand them. And even if you disagree with them, saying, I understand what you're saying, repeat it back. A lot of times there are times where, like, through my filters, Mike will tell me something and I hear something totally different than what he is trying to tell me. You know, like my filters are up and he says one thing and his tone or the word that he uses or whatever triggers some kind of emotional response in me and I completely hear him wrong. And that's really crucial, especially when you're building a foundation for something or systems that your whole business is going to be built up on. So we've learned in the last decade of working together that it's important for me to repeat back kind of what he says and say, okay, this is what I hear you saying. And I hear you saying X, Y, and Z. And he's like, nope, that's not it. I said X, Y, and M. Got it. Okay. So I'm not going to take that personally and go, well, you're just trying to call me stupid and I know what I'm doing and you don't understand me. I'm going to really try to take that in, internalize it, and then say, you know what? I was thinking about that and I'm going to tweak it just a little bit. What do you think? And then kind of bring it back to him. So it's really important to kind of like understand how to like communicate with one another, to understand what each other is saying, put down those filters that you have from being married or just from life or your personality or whatever it is. You've got to be able to understand your strengths and weaknesses, understand your spouse's strengths and weaknesses, and then work together to be able to hear one another better. I think communication is probably the number one problem that I hear between married couples that we've served that have had, you know, tremendous strife within their business, is that they're just not hearing one another. And there's so many years and layers of not hearing one another that they just can't stop it. Like, it's just this ongoing battle that just keeps going and they're not able to break that habit and move on to the next level. So if you really want to break that habit and move on to the next level, you've got to have that communication, that front, that not seeing your spouse as this hindrance or dead weight, but going, I've got this amazing resource, this person that's committed their life to me, that, you know, the mother or father of my children, the person that has been behind me, that said that they would be there in sickness and health until the day they die. And I'm treating them like they're a sack of potatoes. They are your most valuable and precious ally, and the way that you treat them is crucial to the way that they're going to be able to support you. So even if you don't work with a spouse, having that support in them is so, so, so valuable. It is more valuable than anything that you could have, any system, any process, any magic button, having that person behind you and pushing you when you are feeling weak or tired or about to give up is invaluable. So with that, there's also kind of being able to separate your business life and your personal life. It is really, really hard, especially with a new business or when things are going bad or even when things are going good, to want to talk about business all the time. We are so passionate about it. You know, we want to tell all of our friends about it and we want to tell our family about it, but they don't give a crap. So nobody's going to listen to us. Well, this guy that sleeps next to me, he's got to listen to me and I'm going to tell him about it all day long. Well, the problem is they're going to get burned out and you have to make that break. You have to have a separation between we are business partners and we are life partners. There needs to be that time where you can actually break away from the business and have a life. Because if you look back, you're going to blink and all of a sudden 10 years has gone by and you're trying to think about all of the things that you guys have done in the last 10 years. And all you can think about is late nights with the business and payroll and new accounts and marketing, but you've forgotten to enjoy these years. You can't get it back. No matter how much money you make, you cannot add a single hour to your life. You cannot take a single day off your life. So don't forget to separate that business and your personal life so that you can actually enjoy it. Like, we always work towards like the next corner. I know in my family, my dad was a diehard entrepreneur. I mean, he built a international design and architecture firm. And for 50 years, that was his business. I mean, it was his identity. He would travel for months at a time and he would be gone all the time. And he just never separated that life and that business. And he just was just so passionate about it and brought it home. And when he was on his deathbed, his biggest regret was not spending more time with us. He couldn't add a single day to his life with the success that he had. So it's really, really important to be able to understand that separation between your business and your life. Don't forget to live your life. It's really important. The way that you can do that is by kind of setting a timer, like, you know, like business hours, right? Like, I know that you may be go, go, go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or whatever your hours are, but you need to have a hard stop after that and be husband and wife and spend that time together. It is so crucial that you do that because if I just leave my ringer on or if I just check this one email, before you know it, it's 2 hours later, your kids are already in bed, dinner's cold, and you've kind of lost the rest of the night, you're mentally exhausted, your spouse is frustrated because they're not connecting with you, and then you kind of are letting this family that you're doing all this work for kind of fall by the wayside, and they're not going to be able to get that time back, and eventually when you figure it out and regret it, you can't get that time back. So, you know, business hours. We don't talk about business before, you know, breakfast. We have breakfast together as a spouse and you know, as a family. And then once business time starts, we can, you know, talk all that we want until we're blue in the face. And then at 6 p.m., we shut it down. Mike and I have a thing. We're on Sundays. We don't work. We don't answer our emails. We don't answer our phones. We really focus on being a family because if we don't, we're not going to have that time. So we really want to make sure that we separate that time. And it may have to be putting a box around that time or whatever you need to do to make that time sacred and precious. There's also that added benefit of like refreshing your mind. You know, like if you are working all the time, you get super myopic. Like you can't get outside the problem, right? Especially if you've got an angry customer or you've got an employee that's been stealing or something's broken or insurance is, you know, doesn't want to pay for something or, you know, payroll's coming up and you've got $12,576 in payroll and $10,242 in the bank. If you don't have that time to get out of it, your brain just can't come up with creative ideas and solutions. You just get super focused on the issue and you just can't come up with creative ideas. So in addition to spending that time with your spouse and being able to really communicate with them, And as a husband and wife, you need that time for your brain to kind of reset and be able to refresh and take in ideas. You know, there's always people that talk about they get their best ideas in the shower. Well, it's that time where you're really not focusing on the problem that you can come up with the solution. If you're hyper-focused on the problem, then there's no extra brain, you know, no extra brain power or creativity to come up with a solution. So you need that time away to really come up with good ideas and problem solving and how to grow your business and solve the problems that you've got. Let's see. Yes, another one. So I have my little list here, by the way, because I am not a public speaker and I am still shaking. So if your spouse is you know, really, really, you know, supportive and they're like, I understand, it's okay, it's no problem, I, you know, it's okay, we can do it just for another turn. It's always around the next corner. Like there's always something where it's like, well, just around the corner, we just got to make it through this time and then we'll be able to spend more time together. But you always come up with extra time to fill. Like, you know, Mike and I always have like this debate about my time, what I do with my day. And he says like, well, if I give you 10 minutes to finish a task, you'll finish it in 10 minutes. If I give you 2 hours to finish the task, you'll finish the same task in 2 hours. And the same thing goes with business. If your spouse is super loving and supportive and is willing to sacrifice their time for you and for the business, and they give you all of that leeway, that's amazing. And I totally love that. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying, where you have like this person in your corner, you know, pushing you behind and the, you know, the wind beneath your wings, to be super cliche. Well, if you don't actually give them that extra time, eventually even the most amazing, loving, doting spouse is going to get resentful, or they're going to have like this emotional break from you, right? I mean, you have to have some kind of connection with somebody to keep it together, because we all know that marriage isn't easy. It's hard. It's work. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. And sometimes one person is giving, you know, 10% and the other person has to give 190%. But you can't keep doing that and expecting that person to stay okay with everything. They need your support as well. So even if the person says, you know, it's okay, I understand, it's totally fine, deep down, you know that that connection is separating, right? Like if you can think about like, when was the last time you really spent a whole evening with your spouse without talking business, without worrying about it, even in the back of your mind, or checking your phone or checking your texts or taking calls when you're on dinner? There's this amazing little app that you can use that when you're at dinner, like I think with through OpenTable or whatever, if you actually schedule or, you know, make a reservation through OpenTable, when you get there, it has like this little pop-up saying, hey, I realize that you have a dinner reservation. Would you like to go on Do Not Disturb? Click yes. It takes an hour out of your time to refresh and rebuild that relationship, and it will serve you for decades to come. So don't short yourself that opportunity. Just click yes. And thank you, Fengman. I appreciate the love for the hair. And I appreciate all of your support, you guys. That's amazing. If you have specific questions, please feel free to put it in the chat. I'm happy to answer them. I've just got a couple more things and then I'm just going to add a little bit and then just ask, you know, answer away or, you know, ask any questions that you guys have. So finally, it is the, you know, when I kind of touch back on like this whole, it's important to win every battle. And I know that there are times, and especially when we are right, which is like, I'm always right, right? And we feel like we've been wronged, we don't want to let it go. Even if that other person is unwilling or unbending to say, I'm just wrong, I'm just, I you know, you're wrong, I'm right, and you know that they're wrong. Sometimes it's better to just lose that battle so you can win the war. I mean, if you really think about it, if you really think about all the fights that you guys have had throughout your entire marriage, you've always reconciled after that, right? But it's always after hours or days or weeks or months of just anger and bitterness and this heartache and heartbreak. And we hold on to it because it feels good, right? Like it feels good to be angry and justified in our anger. Like, I can't believe he talked to me that way, or he said this and he was wrong, and he, you know, whatever it is, or she just doesn't understand, and she completely undermined me in this whole procedure or this whole process and screwed up the whole thing. And we are so right and justified in our anger. But then months later, we've reconciled. Well, you've wasted those months and you've wasted all that energy, and holding on to that anger is about as futile as, you know, like they say, drinking poison and expecting the other person to drink. or to die, right? Like you're basically poisoning yourself with all of this anger and frustration and resentment and bitterness, but you eventually will reconcile. Hopefully you will reconcile, and you might as well just save yourself that whole drama and be able to be the bigger person and come to that person and say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree with you, but I don't want to fight with this anymore. Like, can we, you know, come to the table, have a discussion and get over it and move on and have a good day. I think Mike and I have done a really, really good job of doing this, and he's better at it than I am. And certainly there are times where I do not deserve him coming to me and apologizing because I'm the one that was in the wrong, but he does it. And he demonstrates that, and he demonstrates that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness. And when he does that, it's very, very easy for me to go, I don't know what I was thinking. You're absolutely right. Like, it's not like we're going to get divorced and leave and tear this whole family apart. Why go through all of this time and this anger and this frustration? Let's just skip to the end. Let's just skip all over all this heartache and all the things that we may do or say, and get to the part where we make up and move on with our lives. You're going to be able to serve your business and serve each other so much better if you're able to do that. And I know it is hard. I know that I, you know, so much easier to say it than to do it, but it's just like building a muscle. Once you build that muscle, being able to overcome your anger and your frustration, your justified rage, and let go of it and say, you are more important than my pride or my anger or my justification. You are more important. I am putting you before that. And I am saying, I'm sorry. And I'm going to apologize. Being able to do that is huge. Like you've made a commitment to your spouse for life, and it's more important that you hold that commitment together than your own frustration and anger. And sometimes it may be that you are the one doing it 99% of the time, but it's better than that bitterness and that resentment getting a foothold in your marriage. It is really, really important. It's always important. So build that muscle, being able to forgive that person, forgive yourself, and to come to them and ask for forgiveness is really crucial. One other thing, a trick that you can do that we found useful is, you know, if you find like you have a really busy week and something is super, super pressing and important and you just don't have time to deal with it, but you constantly are snipping at each other because something that he said or did, or some frustration that you're having, or whatever that slight or whatever may be, it just keeps coming up throughout the week. And you know that you don't have time to deal with it right now, but if you just let it go, it's just not going to let go. So what we have utilized in our marriage is a specific date. Like every Saturday at a certain time, we have it on our calendar, and it is learn how to love one another better. And every Saturday, we just ask each other the same question. How can I be a better spouse? How can I love you better? And if there's something that's come up throughout the week, I know, okay, I don't need to snip at him all week. I know it's been really busy. I don't need to do this. I can actually just bring it up on Saturday, and not in a way of like, I can't believe you did this and how dare you. But like, you know, I would feel really loved if you could do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, actionable items, work on that through the next week. And then the next week when you have your meeting, okay, how did I do last week? Great. Well, you did really good here, or I really felt like you fell short there. And how about we, you know, work on this thing going the week forward? And just having that meeting, I know it sounds stupid and it sounds trivial and minor, but it really does help knowing, okay, I know that on Saturday I can address this. I can just kind of put it away. And by that time, you're probably cooled down a little bit. You're a little bit more logical and less emotional about the issue. And you can kind of discuss and resolve it much better. And then know that like your spouse is committed to improving your marriage, improving your communication, improving how you can build your business together as a team rather than at cross purposes. That's a great way to go about it. So I would kind of challenge you guys to do that. Set an appointment every week so that you can do that. So I'm going to just kind of answer a couple questions right here. So we've got, hey, Jehota, I hope I said that right. Welcome from Baldwin, New York. Michelle, you are right. The relationship is way more important than the issue. It always is. That's what we're working for. That's what we're doing. So don't lose sight of that. And then before and after cleaner, what if your better half isn't interested? Do you mean like they're not interested in the business or interested in reconciling? Because those are two different things. If they're not interested in the business, then, you know, that's always frustrating, but you have to kind of, you know, honor that request, right? Like, I don't want to listen to the business. Okay, well, that's a bummer. And you can always tell them, I'd feel very loved if you would be able to like converse with me and talk with me about it, because we have this common dream. But it could be that they're not interested because they don't feel heard, or they don't feel like you are working towards their goal. So that might be a communication issue where they feel like you've got this one goal that they're not super passionate about, that they don't really care about, and they're not being heard. So if they understand that you guys have a common goal and you guys are both working towards it, then I think it will really help her to become more interested, or him, more interested in that goal, right? Because nobody really cares about somebody else's plans, but they really do care about their plans. So I think in understanding what his or her desires are and really working towards that, you're going to get that passion back, because we all want to work towards something that serves ourselves. And if you guys can do that together, that would be super helpful. Okay, Kim Johnson, thank you so much for joining me. Love you guys. Thank you for the love, and I appreciate putting myself out here. Still shaking. Let's see. Are they the better half then? I think if you always put your spouse ahead of yourself, you're going to let them rise to the occasion. If you treat somebody like a criminal, they're going to act like a criminal. If you treat somebody that is amazing, of course, with a grain of salt, you know, don't let yourself be abused or whatever. But if you treat somebody in a manner that is, sorry, guys, hold on one second. Every time my phone rings, it does that. Okay. If you treat somebody in a way that's like, hey, you are amazing, you are smart, you are capable, you are an amazing spouse, and I am so appreciative of your help, the opportunity for them to rise to that occasion is going to be far greater than, you're a piece of crap. You constantly fail. You do nothing good for me. I can't believe that I'm married to you. You're such a loser. Well, what's the opportunity and the benefit for them to rising to the occasion? So always treating your spouse like they're the better half. I mean, I know that Mike is always very effusive with how he speaks about me, and he always gives me lots of love and praise. And that gives me a lot of space to come up and try to rise to that occasion. And even when he's angry or when I've screwed up royally, like today, you give them that space and you encourage them to raise to that occasion. They're going to be able to be a much better spouse and a much better partner. Let's see. I've got Shane is a workaholic. What should I say to him? Because he wants me to be like that too, but I don't think we need to be a workaholic. Dina, you were right. Workaholics are workaholics. It's just like any other addiction. You have to temper it. You have to set boundaries. So it's really important to box your time and just say, listen, I understand, but if you want me to work at my best and you want me to give the company and you the best, I need this space. I need to be husband and wife. Otherwise, I am just going to get burnt out and you're just not going to get the best of me. And the business deserves, and you deserve the best of me. So there's that time that you need to box out. So again, it's that communication of what your needs and goals are and being able to kind of like talk about that. So let's see. Derek, you said, hello. Hello, Derek. Catherine, don't worry about it. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I have to read through and figure out what you said. Jehota says, my husband and I came from different backgrounds. He's a construction guy and I'm a business-oriented person. Now we both own our business so that we don't have time to fight or argue, because we're always talking about our own businesses. He owns a construction company and I own a cleaning company. At first, he was never supportive. How can I make a better relationship while we manage our own businesses? You know what? That's super interesting question. So again, I think it's about having that communication, and I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm just sharing my experience with working with Mike for the last decade, building several businesses, understanding what each other has and having those rules. Like, I understand that your business is important. I hear that. I want to understand you. I want to support you. My business is important to me. And I really understand that, you know, you love me and you want to be able to support and love me. this is what I need from my business. What do you need for your business? And perhaps you guys can combine your experience and your wisdom. Because a lot of businesses have cross purposes, right? Like they are not cross purposes, but they have systems, processes, different ways of running your business that are actually very, very symbiotic. So it would probably behoove you guys to talk about your businesses and how you drum up new business, how you systemize your employee attraction, your client attraction. All of that stuff can go from business to business. It's not like what we do here at Cleaning Nation won't apply to any other service business, right? The principles and the concepts are all the same. So if you can find out a way to communicate where it's fair, right? You don't want him to constantly be drawing you into his business and kind of leaving you emotionally and mentally and physically exhausted, but say, all right, well, let's find a good way that we can work together and help each other build our own businesses. It's all a matter of communication and respect, right? So to kind of go over it, discuss what your goals are. I mean, I know you guys have two different businesses, but you don't have two different families. You have one family. You have one set of children if you have kids. You have one household. So what are your goals? What are your financial goals? Where do you want to be? What age do you want to be when you retire? What do you want your life to look like? Discuss that. Because if he's thinking, I want to retire over in Hawaii, and you're like, no, I want to go over up to the mountains in Colorado, and he's working towards one goal, and he wants to retire in 10 years, and you want to retire in 20, well, that's at cross purposes. So sit down, discuss it, figure out what you guys want, and then reverse engineer that to make it to your goal. Because it's not just about work, 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 keep your head down, and hopefully one day it'll get better. You have to have a destination to get there. So figure out what that common destination is. Figure out how you guys can work together to make it there, and then use that as a way to communicate and springboard your communication going forward. I hope that answers your question. That's basically it. I just want to see if there's anything else that I left out here. I don't think so, but let me just double check. Let's see. Yes, the last final benefit. When you get this right, you get to travel, you get to dream, you get to share your passion with your best friend, you get to work toward this really exciting goal together. You aren't working towards your goal and he or she isn't working towards that goal, but you guys have a common goal and you can dream about it and you can be excited about it. You can put together a dream board. You can talk about your wins and your losses because you're in a common goal, a common path. When you get to do this, you get to like set your schedules, right? Like when you work together and you own your own businesses, like Mike and I, we get to travel wherever we want. We can pick up our business and we can go. I don't have to ask my boss for permission to leave for vacation. I can just go. We can really enjoy life. So if you can get it right and not have all of this miscommunication and, you know, all this cross purpose together, you can actually really enjoy spending your lives together and the fruits of your labor and being able to be a business owner rather than being at the mercy of whatever employer and not being able to leave or do anything like that. It is a tremendous opportunity. So it would behoove you guys to be able to communicate and really get things drilled down so you can enjoy all of this. So that's basically it. If you guys want to discover the systems that Mike and I, or Mike has spent the last 20 and myself 10 years building so that we can put together our business so that it is automated, so that we can travel together and we have a common goal and we support one another and love one another and don't put the business ahead of time. As much as I love you guys, Cleaning Nation, my husband and my family all come first. So if you guys want to be able to automate your business so that you can really focus on just the big picture stuff and then really build that marriage and working together and loving one another as a spouse, just go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There's a masterclass on there. You can sign up for it, bring your spouse along, talk about it, watch it. At the end, you can actually sign up for a breakthrough session where I would highly encourage both of you guys to sign up and be on at the same time and really discuss your goals. I would really encourage you guys to do that. I really love you guys, Cleaning Nation. It is such an honor to be able to serve you guys and to see where you guys have come. I love hearing all of your posts about how you've come from one place to another, or gotten out of cleaning, or got rid of bad, you know, customers and employees, and got new customers and employees. And even when you have hiccups and issues along the way, you guys encourage one another. I think that is amazing. And I feel truly blessed to be able to serve such a wonderful community. It is a joy. You know, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And I guess I'm on eternal vacation. So thank you guys for being such an amazing group of people to serve. Feel free to, you know, I sent out an email reminder. Feel free to email me. Let me know how it goes with your spouse, or if you have any questions about things that you guys can do to, you know, speed up your communication or set your goals. But I'm going to leave you with that. And I hope you guys all have an amazing week. And Mike will be back on Thursday. Take care, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.